is Carol Topp from homeschoolcpa.com, back with some more podcasts on the Dollars and Cents Show. You will be listening to a four-part podcast series that are excerpts from a talk I did at the Indiana Association of Home Educators Leaders Retreat. The Indiana statewide organization holds an annual retreat, just a day long, usually just a middle of a day retreat for their support group, homeschool co-op, and any kind of homeschool leader. And they invited me to talk to them recently. And so I entitled my talk, What Are Homeschool Leaders Thinking About? Because I thought that might be interesting for leaders in Indiana to hear about what other leaders across the country are contacting me at my website, or what I'm hearing in phone calls, and what I'm hearing when I visit different states. So the four podcasts focus on how homeschooling is changing and the lines between homeschooling or running micro schools or running, you know, private schools are blurring, and what we should be doing about that as homeschool leaders. The second podcast in the four-part podcast is going to be about the relationships that homeschool organizations have with their churches. Some homeschool groups are having a hard time getting churches to host them, and I spent a little time talking about that. There is an episode in this four-part series about tax-exempt status, what you need to get it and how you maintain it, and maybe when you don't need it. And then finally, a very timely topic that I'm getting asked a lot of questions about, that is paying volunteers and paying teachers in your homeschool co-op. So to find the other podcasts, you can go to my website, homeschoolcpa.com/podcast. And then you can find podcasts like this one that you can listen to get helpful information for you as a homeschool group leader. I hope these podcasts are helpful to you. Understand, I'm talking to a live audience, so the audio quality can be a little variable. Sometimes there are questions coming from the leaders, and the volume may dip a little bit, but I hope you can still get a lot of helpful information and encouragement from this podcast given at the Indiana Association of Home Educators Leaders Retreat.
Okay, let's talk about boards and volunteers. Can you pay a volunteer? No, because they're no longer a volunteer. But we can thank them. I'll talk about that in a minute. Recruiting volunteers. So I was asked once to become, I think it was part of the leadership team, maybe of the co-op. And this is the second point. I was asked personally, and here's how the leader did it. She called me. She buttered me up by saying nice things to me, you know. And then she said, I'm gathering the best, most talented people to help me, and I want you on my team. What do you think? I fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. Of course I wanted to help her. She just gave me, seriously, personal ask, butter them up. No. Identify their strengths. Identify their strengths. That's what Tara said. Build a good team, you know, balanced team. Give them small jobs first. You know, let them handle a fundraising event. Let them handle graduation ceremony, some committee or something like that. Let them handle a small task first. If they're successful in that, that's definitely the person you would ask, you know, personally to consider a larger leadership role on your board, and show appreciation. Tara touched on that too. Be gratitude. Now I'm going to talk to you about how you can thank your volunteers properly without getting in trouble with taxes and the IRS. This was a chapter in my newest book. My newest book is called Paying Workers in a Homeschool Organization. And I think I released it about November 1st. So about this time a year ago, I was researching it. And I was reading stuff about, like this, thanking volunteers. And as I'm reading this stuff, I'm said to my husband, oh, Dave, homeschool leaders are not going to like what I have uncovered and what I'm going to tell them. And he said, are you sure you want to write the book? I said, I think I have to. I do not want you guys to get in trouble. I don't want us to do things wrong. The last thing I want to hear is in some IRS report that we are now targeting homeschool groups because we believe there is a lot of misappropriation of funds or untaxed income and things like that. Okay. So when you want to thank your volunteers, whether it's board members or the volunteers that do a lot, do it with tangible gifts, tangible, something you can touch. Give them a book, give them chocolate, give them flowers. Give them babysitting, okay? Pay for the babysitter so that they can come to the meeting. Some groups hold a meeting, hire a teenage babysitter to watch the kids in the next room. Pay for the meals at your board meeting. If you're gonna have a board meeting and your budget and your group can sustain it, do it at a restaurant or cater in a meal. I was on the board of American Heritage Girls. You know, familiar with American Heritage, started in Cincinnati, so I was on their board. And we would meet at 6:30, or 6 even, and have a meal. They always catered in a meal for us. It was fabulous. We loved it. And a lot of people would come right from work, get their meal, then they were home with their family by 8 o'clock. Our board meeting was over. How about convention tickets? How about paying their way to the convention? Yeah, or this. Did your groups pay for you to be here today? You got some nods, they should be. This is the way that they thank you for serving on leadership. Here's the stuff you need to avoid. Significant discounts, cash, and gift cards. Darn it, our favorite thing to give people is gift cards, right? The IRS says gift cards are the equivalent of cash. You give someone cash, it's probably taxable income. Darn. That's where I was doing that research. I'm like, Dave, they're not going to like to hear that. Okay, and this significant benefits. What kind of benefits do you give your leaders or discounts? Do any of your co-ops give some of your leaders, your board leaders, discounts on like fees or tuition or anything? That's pretty common to do. Yeah. Okay, this is pretty common what she said. If you teach in a co-op, you can get up to 50% of your dues, tuition, fees, whatever, discounted. And board members, because they're pretty hardworking people, also get 50%. Do you have a cap? No, I mean 50% of what?
Oh, the registration.
And what's the registration fee in dollars? Just tell me, I'm just quizzing.
$200.
$200. So the cap would be $100. Okay, is that significant? Is that significant? Oh, you guys think it's significant? How many hours does that teacher put in?
The teachers?
Yeah.
If they're teaching two
roughly
classes,
yeah.
For a core class, they're putting in 30 days a year, 1 hour for each class.
30 hours.
60 hours.
$100, $100 divided by 60 hours of work. Is that significant? You get my drift? Okay. Yes, ma'am.
It's a significant discount on the registration.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about, okay, let me go too slow. The IRS says significant benefits are taxable income. Now, do you want to know what their definition of significant is? Of course, I know you do. You're like, what is it?
Tell us.
It's on your paper. This is it. In all its clarity, the IRS has given us this great definition. The value of the benefit. Okay, this is what they consider. So the value of the benefit, the quantity and quality of the work, the cost to the organization of providing this benefit, and the connection between the benefit received and the performance of the services. Does that clear things up for you?
Okay.
You're right.
So they balance the two and the five.
Okay, I think 100, this is why I quizzed her, right? What is the dollar amount? $100 for 60 hours of work. That is not significant in terms of the quantity and quality of the work performed. Okay, true story. I'm dealing with a homeschool group. I won't name the state. It's kind of close by, though. And they're giving their board members, I think it's, they charge a lot. They are completely paid teachers, no volunteer teachers, that kind of thing. Not a co-op, more of a homeschool program, okay? They are giving their board members, it was their board members, up to $4,000 a year of tuition discounts. Now, is that significant? She says, yes. The IRS doesn't put a dollar amount. Remember that? You got to look at the value. So what they're debating with me, and I can write what's called a comfort letter. Okay, comfort letter is when you say, I, as a CPA, licensed to practice for the IRS, have investigated and determined that this amount is not significant, therefore not taxable income. And I would have to address all of those factors in that evaluation. I did that for one group. I was completely comfortable with their $200 discount based on the number of hours that the volunteers put in. Completely comfortable in writing that letter. This group with the $4,000, I'm a little less comfortable. I gotta do a lot more asking of questions about what is the value, what is the quality of the work, what's the all these things. Okay, just something for you to think about. So again, what was my point? My point two slides back was when you thank your volunteers, give them tangible gifts, give them convention tickets, whatever, insignificant gift cards, $25 or less, please. Now don't stack up five $25 gift cards or 17 $25 gift cards, okay? Yes, ma'am.
I'm so confused.
Okay.
So to me, 100% of something is significant, but $15 is insignificant. So my support group fee is only $15, but board members have 100% discount. Is that insignificant?
Well, again, the first criteria is the value of the benefit. So most people would say $15, again, given the work that they put in, is insignificant, right? So try to read that correct. Think like the IRS. Here's a question. Can your board vote themselves benefits? Can your board vote themselves that 50% benefit? Big X, big red X. Why not? Who else is going to vote them a benefit? 1 minute. Okay. Yeah, we'll zip it through. No, you can't. It's called a conflict of interest. It's self-serving. Paying workers. Are we going to have time to go through this? Probably not. Okay, I am changing my tune about paying workers. On the conclusion of a lot of research I did for the book, I've cited my source. He's an attorney who said teachers in educational programs should be treated as employees, not independent contractors. And why? Because they are providing the key activity of the business, and you, the co-op, are exerting control over them. Even if you let them pick the curriculum and everything, you are exerting control. You know why? You have to. And why do you have to exert control over that teacher? Because children are involved. The safety of the children, both their academic safety and their physical safety, depend on you, the leaders, having control over that teacher. You better start thinking about treating your teachers as employees, not independent contractors. Yes?
The
speakers at convention, no, they are typically not the key activity of the business. And you probably do not exert control. I would say no, they are probably there to deliver their one-time service. They are more typically independent contractors. I feel pretty confident about that. This ruling, it was a determination by this attorney based on lots of IRS audits, and I even cite in that second one some IRS revenue rulings. Not like you want to read those things, but I have. But I am drawing the conclusion that we have got to change the way that we are paying our co-op teachers, and I don't like it. So here's what you can do. Go back to running the all-volunteer co-ops, right? Is that it? Yep. Parents paying teachers directly, but we know the potential problems with that, because now each of those independent contractor teachers are running their own businesses. The churches may not like that, but okay, let's cross that bridge if it ever happens to us. Or set up payroll and pay them as employees. There's the book that I wrote to try to help you sort it out. Here are my other books. They're out on the book table. Oh, that worked well. Okay. Here is my podcast, homeschoolcpa.com/podcast. They're very short podcasts, 10, 15 minutes, come out once a week, so you can just listen quite quickly to a whole bunch of topics. I am releasing very soon, hopefully by the end of this month, something called a board member manual. It will be a digital product, like a Word document. I'm getting someone to make it look pretty right now. Yeah, you excited about this? It is like a template that you can create a manual. It'll be some training for your boards, documents. You can, you know, it'll have cover sheets, put your bylaws here, what should be in your bylaws, that kind of stuff. So to help you better manage your board. The way I'm going to do it is I'm going to sell you one electronic copy. I haven't priced it yet. It'll probably be very cheap. You know, it's the promo and stuff, I don't know, under $10. And I'm letting you print out copies for all of your board members for the one price. You're welcome. But I don't want you sharing the electronic files with them. I got to control the electronic file as much as I can, but you're allowed to print out copies. Okay, well, I'm looking forward to our Q&A time. We're taking a little break right now. Kimberly's coming up. Thank you. You're a great audience. This was fun for me.
Well, I hope you enjoyed hearing some of the questions and my replies to the homeschool leaders given there at the Indiana Association of Home Educators Leaders Retreat. Hey, I hope your state organization is supporting you by offering leader gatherings like this, maybe in conjunction with your statewide homeschool convention or separately like Indiana does. But, you know, you could put something together yourself, and you can invite me to come and talk to homeschool leaders in your area. I'm flying out to Kansas in a few days to talk to leaders in Wichita. But, you know, if you can't afford that, then maybe something like a virtual visit, a conference, a telephone conference call, or, you know, a Skype visit might be just what you want to bring helpful information like this to your leaders in your local area. So please contact me, Carol@homeschoolcpa, if I can be of some assistance to your homeschool leaders, and maybe we could set something up that's affordable and helpful to your leaders. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.